Hey, it's Weekend Geek. There's so much to cover this week. I'm Frank, and Michelle's there, and there's Pope, and there's a Pete, and James is in the sky with satellites. Also, Al is here.
Hey.
Yeah.
All wow, right. this is more people than usual.
Yeah, this is a lot of people. So, let's get to a lot of geek. First up, we didn't discuss this. The Star Wars trailer just dropped. Yes. That's geeky.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, all right, let's be real. I mean, think we all did enjoy the trailer, right?
Yeah. What's our feelings about the trailer? Let's give a mini trailer dump right now. Yay or nay?
Yay. I just don't like the title.
Yeah. I'm a big
Star
fan.
Star Wars, nobody was going to like the subtitle anyway, so why even try?
I guess so.
Episode 9. If we're going to talk about the title just briefly, I don't want to lead with negative, but for me, it's a conjunctioning, like the Rise of Skywalker. It feels like there's missing, grammar words.
Yeah.
Missing grammar words.
I feel as if the title has grown on me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. The more I watch the trailer, the more the title grows.
I just feel like it's how they tail end a trilogy with a blank of the blank, or in this case, they take the and put it at the front, and it hurts my brain.
Should have been like the Rage of the Ewoks.
Rise of the Ewoks.
I get the feeling it was originally Rise of the Skywalker, and then they were like, wait, what if we do this? Haha, now it's different.
Now it's the Rise of Skywalker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about the phrasing is just a little off for me.
Yeah.
But the trailer itself, which is a lot more interesting, here's my weird takeaway from the trailer. I don't know what happened. This may be the end of the Non-Pro Network. Mm. I just want to enjoy it. I don't really want to examine the hell out of it. I don't remember any of the little details for the most part in it. I'm like, oh, that's a character I recognize, and that's something cool. And oh, look at the flip. And there's spaceships I recognize vaguely.
Yeah.
But I can't name the names of. I'm just willing, I've heard a lot of hot takes of what this can mean and how much of the secrets they're rolling. So the way it works is J.J. Abrams sets up a bunch of mysteries. Who was the guy from Last Jedi? I just don't
Ryan
know.
Johnson.
Ryan Johnson. This is not a political statement. I just blanked on his name. Ryan Johnson walks back some of those mysteries, maybe, question mark. And now J.J. Abrams brings them back to the front. And a lot of people are very angry about this, I think. But I honestly do not care. I just want to see a good movie.
And also, I don't think any of those mystery boxes were in the trailer. At least I didn't see any mystery boxes in that trailer.
To be honest, if I could unpack one, the one I've read. So J.J. Abrams is like, here's Snoke. He's a mysterious emperor-like guy in the background. What's his deal? And then Ryan Johnson's like, it doesn't really matter. We'll just kill him off. And then, of course, this trailer ends with the
Emperor laugh.
The creepy reveal of the Emperor's laugh, implying that maybe the Emperor is involved in some way, perhaps more than just a flashback. So the people who are angry giving internet hot takes are saying, oh, well, why is J.J. Abrams just walking back the walk back from the original walk back?
I don't think there's much of a walk back here. It's in a sense a new character. I mean, it's an old character, but it's an old character coming back we haven't visited or haven't revisited yet. And we revisit quite a few of the characters. And if the light side can have these shadowy ghost people hang around, why are we so surprised or turned off by the dark side being able to do it?
Yeah, but speaking of other, revisiting other characters, I feel like I was really happy to see more of that in there, that they're, pulling in Lando.
Yeah, that was great.
So, I think it's great to know that Lando can still fit into his outfit from way back in Solo.
But I don't know. I was digging the trailer, like the TIE fighter design, as always.
I'm happy that they showed some of the footage that they were using with Carrie Fisher, because I'm really excited to see her in the movie.
Yeah, it was nice to see her not, CGI'd in, which I guess is something I was afraid of. I didn't realize I was, but
Well, they did do that in Rogue One, which was really awkward.
That was really
she approved of that, though. She saw herself and she was like, super happy.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with passing. That was just like, oh, we're not going to use Marvel budget to de-age these actors.
I'm not sure they had Marvel capabilities at that point.
That's fair. But I like the adventure feel of the film, that it seems, because we have our three characters of Poe, Finn, and Rey going off on some sort of quest of some kind or another. And I like that those three get to spend time together, because we've been waiting, I think, three movies at this point for all three of them to be kind of in the same room together one another.
Yeah, I guess in the end of the trailer, we do see them sort of looking at what looks like the Death Star wreckage.
See, I'm not getting that.
That it's the Death Star?
I'm hearing that that's the Death Star, like, from everybody, and I just don't get it.
I see it vaguely. It's so weird. Like, I'm really jazzed and excited, and I also have no preconceived notions. Like, yeah. I'm like, is that the Death Star? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not, I can't believe people have hot tag. I can't believe we've been talking about it for 8 minutes, although most of it has been me sputtering like an idiot. So,
yeah.
Guess good enough.
To be fair, we did develop a whole show for this format, talking for hours on end about trailers.
I'm not familiar with that show. Moving on.
Frank has no recollection.
Next
of this.
Topic is
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yes.
Season premiere.
Last season premiere.
Man. Yes. And also the episode was not as long as I thought they were going to be.
Weren't they supposed to be like 3 hours long?
Yeah, they were going to be like an hour and a half long each. And to be fair, I didn't really want to watch an hour and a half long of Jon Snow contemplating what he was going to do next.
Next week. Don't worry.
Okay.
Every episode. Let's be real.
No, because they're only about like 50 to 65 minutes long each. I think there might be one that's closer to like 70, 80.
That one that has like the crazy big battle scene. Yeah. That's supposedly the biggest battle scene that's ever been in any form of film ever. That one's supposed to be 2 hours, I think.
No, I looked up all the running times. There were none over 90.
Interesting.
I could be wrong, but last I read.
So I think we should probably keep this spoiler light as possible, right?
Yeah, spoiler light.
Yeah, because this is not like a very specific Game of Thrones podcast. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I didn't think it was all that monumental for a season premiere.
That's fair.
Okay. I was relatively unimpressed.
Really?
I'm with Pete.
Isn't this just kind of, I don't think this is bad. I think that it's okay to start reacquainting us with the characters, because I feel like that was what the point of that episode was.
I didn't even feel reacquainted with anyone, though.
Really?
I hope that this isn't considered a spoiler. I think it's pretty minor, but what I like the most, the selling point for me is that, and it's a Herculean task for a show like this, is you got everyone within two or three locations, right? When you talk about a show that sprawled out and books that sprawled out even further, where every little person was in their own world, it was tedious. That's the worst part of Game of Thrones for me. So to me, I that's one of the things I enjoyed.
I think it's both a blessing and a curse. Something that's really nice about it is that it's kind of getting down to brass tacks and getting everybody in the same place. But one of the things that made Game of Thrones so enjoyable in the early seasons was just how much we got to ruminate with some of these big things.
And the very large expanse of world we got to live in and sort of experience through others. Yeah.
There's actually really a lot of big things in this episode, like characters getting reunited, things like that should feel big, that maybe don't feel as big because we just don't have the time to spend with them, because we gotta get right down to it, you know.
Revelations are had.
Well, yeah, because we have Bran who's like, oh, BT dubs, everything is falling apart. Let's do something about it. No time for the siblings to like hug each other and say hi.
Yeah, we don't have time for this.
Nope, no hugs.
I think that was like the most true thing that anybody said in the episode.
No time for hugs. Yes.
No time for hugs. We don't have time for this. The dragon is dead and the Night King has him. Let's get on this. That's not a spoiler, right? That was last season. We all know this.
Yeah. I still don't think he's the Night King.
Bran or the Night King?
I didn't mean Bran. Mild spoilery thing. I'm going to try and talk around it as much as I can. But
go for it.
I am very curious as to how much of the revelation Jon Snow has actually sunk in for him.
I'm going to go ahead and say zero.
Speaking of inappropriate sexual positions, Al.
Yes.
You have some toys you would like to share?
I do have some noise I do have some news on some toys that are coming out this week.
Sexy Toys with Al, a new segment on This Week in Geek.
So first things actually are going to be that
oh my God, he is running with this. I'm very disturbed.
First things are going to be hot. So Black Series, as we're talking about Star Wars not that long ago, is going to be releasing a few more figures, one of which is their Archive Series, bringing back some of their classics figures that aren't around anymore or costing way, way, way more than they were at retail, like Darth Maul. Darth Maul was one of their first figures back in like wave one. We're on wave 31 at this point. Good God. But yeah, they're really releasing a lot of these. Like they did that a few months back with Boba Fett and a couple other bounty hunters. And they went really, really well. And they sold very well because they were great figures. And we're going to get like a young Anakin Skywalker with the new digital face printing technology.
Oh, that's neat.
So it doesn't look horrible. It looks actually like Hayden Christensen.
Horrible because it looks too accurate. Yeah, that's screen horrible. It's like, oh, this simulacrum is staring right into my eyes and makes me want to do reenactments of Jumper. Jumper? That's the name of the movie, right?
Yeah, it was Jumper. It was Jumper.
Yep. It was Jumper. Yeah. Good. Jumper. Yes. Jumper. We all remember Jumper.
Just released, finally, like this has been one of my wishes for a while, was a General Grievous figure.
That's pretty cool. That could be fun. Man, that could be really fun. How many points of articulation does he have? It's important.
Well, forearms, double jointed elbow, no waist swivel. He works well enough.
All right, good enough.
Yep. But also in toys, which are going to be a real pain to find. I think thus far, only people able to find them at GameStops have been the Overwatch figures that Hasbro just released.
Oh, yeah.
You have like Tracer, Soldier 76, Anna. Oh my God, I forgot her name. Farrah, sorry. And Mercy. Anyone here ever play Overwatch? Actually, I should probably check that out first.
Yeah, no, we I'm understand all the clicks the and whistles vehicle. You've. Literally, the podcast we posted this day from Near Mint has Pete roaring, "What's a Fortnite?" But the rest of us get it.
Yeah. But I've been looking forward to some genuinely decent Overwatch like at mass retail figures for a while, because Blizzard is notoriously like hoards their properties. Like almost no one's ever to make stuff for them.
Check out our YouTube channel for videos about what we're talking about, because sometimes visual cues help. Speaking of visual cues and Star Wars and
Overwatch,
not Overwatch, no, not at all. The Mandalorian. We got some sneak peeks on what the Mandalorian looks like. It looks amazing, and it's got the Oberon Bartell from the Game of Thrones.
Pedro Pascal.
Yes, that's. But what did
that's
I call
the
him?
Actor's name.
Yeah, but I did. I also didn't call him his character's name. I just made up something completely.
Oberon Bartell.
Oberon Bartell.
Yeah. You're one letter off.
Hey,
really.
Hooray! Which will be airing on Disney's now formally announced streaming service, Disney Plus. Hey!
Which is actually surprisingly affordable from what I've been able to tell.
Yeah, but it's priced right for me, I guess.
I think, didn't Hulu do something exactly like this? And then once they moved into A, commercials, and B, a more expensive price model?
Probably, yeah. I can imagine that would probably happen. But I don't know if Disney would do that. Disney's such a good guy company. No,
besides,
not so much.
Disney's entire product line is a commercial for itself.
Is that a sign that they won't increase it, or that they'll draw us all in and make it like heroin and then charge us $50 a month for it?
I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to raise the price on this, actually.
Well, think of it this way. I'm sorry. Just one thing before I throw to you, Michelle. The Disney Channel, right? I don't think that's ever been a channel that's been like off of basic cable. Like they've always said, yeah, it's available.
Actually, no, it started
that's
off
not
as
true.
Premium.
All right,
it was
good.
Premium. Yeah. I grew up as a child in the 90s and I did not have the Disney Channel. And then when I was in high school and we finally got it because we got satellite television, I binge watched all of Phil the Future like a weird, weird little sicko.
And being a poor kid, one of the best days of the year was getting the free Disney.
Disney
Channel day.
Yeah. Yeah. I misspoke. What I meant is it never went back. Honestly, because that was my formative memories, VHS tapes of recording. What was her name? The operator. I can't remember. Yeah. Nancy, the Disney operator who talks.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. Anyways, but once it went to basic cable, I don't think it's ever had one of those like.
It's never gone back.
Yeah, it's never been like, oh well, now that Disney's made is much more popular, we're gonna make this a premium channel again.
Well, they just upped the pricing for their season passes.
That's true. The parks.
The parks.
Yeah.
They do that every year, though.
Oh, okay.
And they accompanied it with that great new slogan, Disney Now More Than Ever.
Yeah.
Oh,
so geez. They did it to try and make it seem like it was more affordable for people. I feel like this was the first year that it was as much of a big stinker on it as any other.
Well, at least they destroyed a part of Florida to make Star Wars real. And that is all I've ever asked of Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
But are there spaceships that you can actually fly? Because I feel like it's not really real yet.
I think it's Florida spaceships, which are basically just those propeller boats.
Those hovercrafts.
Yeah.
It's Florida real.
Florida real.
It's as real as anything in Florida ever gets.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, I'm of mixed mind about this. On the one hand, I do not like one company owning all this cultural property. On the other hand, I'm super okay with Disney. That's very weird to me. That is a cognitive dissonance where I'm like, I would not be okay if Fox bought Disney, I would be protesting in the streets. But like Disney buying Fox, I'm like, good for them. Now I can watch National Geographic again.
That was actually really cool. National Geographic's going to be on the Disney Plus. I was not expecting
Wait,
that.
Wait, really? I love National Geographic and National Geographic Wild because there's this show called Dr. K's Exotic Animal ER, and it's the best thing I've ever accidentally discovered.
Mm.
And it will probably be bingeable on Disney Plus.
Oh, it's so bingeable.
Yeah, that's good.
It's on demand, so I watch it.
And it's a nod to
Saturdays.
Disney's, like, you know, history of the nature documentaries I watched as a kid. A lot of them came out of Disney because Disney was okay with putting little rodents on turntables and getting them dizzy and then chucking them off cliffs. It's true.
Really? Look up the Lemmings documentary.
It's also hugely factually inaccurate.
Yeah, even that is not true anymore. Like, there's so many. It's like it's turtles all the way down, people.
Yep.
All
but
right.
Other the stuff that's going to be on that, like, we're going to have every season of The Simpsons will be on Disney Plus.
Disney, Simpsons, weird. My mind. Boom, I can't deal with it.
Are they going to edit out the thing where they had Mickey Mouse going, "Haha, I'm the mascot for an evil corporation"?
No, probably not.
I don't know, maybe. But no, the one promo I saw for The Simpsons Family for Disney Plus was very much the thank you to our corporate overlords. So I guess they're leaning in on it, which is probably the right way to go.
Also, I got to say is I am going to be very upset if they have the entire Disney film collection online, but not Song of the South.
Oh, good.
I don't think they will.
The white guy is arguing for Song of the South. If you had that space in Bingo, Bingo!
Sorry. You know, almost as racist as that, but not quite. Did they announce Dumbo's going to be on?
Oh, yeah. Well, unedited Dumbo? We don't know.
But there's
Disney has a problematic past, I guess.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of those films, though.
Yeah, I think those films that are questionable should come along with a person who explains it and be like, you know, the context of this is the following. I think that's really useful.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That's like every movie that's made before Cinderella.
Why not?
Including Snow White.
Do you know how many of us jerks with opinions
they
exist?
Yeah.
You tell me
that's
problematic.
It's ableist. Sleeping Beauty is ableist.
Tell me one thing that's problematic about Victory Through Air Power.
What is Victory Through Air Power?
It's gotta be something.
Disney propaganda, World War II propaganda film, basically calling for Americans to
back the new branded animated feature.
The Army Air Corps.
I just want to point out that the name of the show is This Week in Geek. So, Victory Through Air Power, This Week in Geek.
Nothing more topical.
Although, I like a Criterion collection from Disney. I mean, as much as, like, here's the thing. I want to see what the youngins think about this. That's a really rude way
of saying. Is that me?
Maybe. Probably. I have no real interest in, let's say, Lilo and Stitch.
I never actually liked Lilo and Stitch that much.
Thank you, James, for giving me the pity.
I'm a huge fan of Lilo and Stitch. I really like that movie. It kind of came out and hit me hard at the right time.
I've seen it several times, and for whatever reason, I don't remember. Like, it doesn't stick in my head the same way Sleeping Beauty does, or Aladdin, or whatever. And it's all about, you know, your relative age when you first experienced these movies, I think. Which is weird, because, like, that doesn't affect me for Mulan. I love Mulan. But for whatever reason, some movies just kind of, or just like Hercules, it's just, it's there. I appreciate it. I don't really love or hate it. It's just sort of good. I like some of the songs, but it took me a long time to like it.
You know, I feel like a lot of like the late 90s stuff falls under the radar, but has like this amazing soundtrack. Yeah. Like everything from that era was awesome in that way.
I would argue that it falls under the radar just because we don't have a lot of like 18 and 19 year olds on the show.
Brother Bear.
Because my nieces love it. And my niece loves Brother Bear. She has the same feeling with Brother Bear that I do for like Little Mermaid. And it's just age group. It's simple. So for me, a Criterion access to the Disney Plus, where I could get to watch the Disney stuff that I used to love as a kid, not the Aladdin really so much as the Wonderful World of Disney as hosted by Walt Disney, which I only watched rarely because I'm 1,000 years old, but also maybe Pete and I are of an age where, like, they really shoved recycled material down our throats. Yeah. Like, I watched 60s shows and 70s shows a lot because I guess they didn't think 80s kids mattered, so they just gave us
the same
garbage.
Well, that's what they did
garbage.
With the Disney Channel. That's what the Disney Channel started out as.
Yeah, it's what it used to be, right.
So I would Davy Crockett and Herbie.
Yeah, there's no reason why I should be, I know you, again, think I'm 1,001 years old. There's no reason why I should be well-versed in Davy Crockett, except for the fact that we happened to come of age when cable expanded and they needed programming, so they just recycled programming.
Mm-hmm.
Cable Expanded is actually the subtitle for Deadpool 3.
I'm with Frank with a lot of this, which I would like to see or re-experience a lot of those things that you were talking about, especially because I have some of those similar opinions about, like, I don't connect with Lilo and Stitch at all either. Like, it just, it's so over... It's
a garbage movie, and James has garbage opinions.
Exactly.
Agreed. Yeah.
He just doesn't have any taste. Nope. But beyond James' horrible taste in films, I do want to try and have, and which is why I'm actually kind of sad to a certain extent that what Pete said is actually going to be probably true, that we're not going to get something like Song of the South, but someone coming forward and saying, like, listen, we're going to explain why this is what it is.
That's
but,
the second white guy to say, why are we getting Song of the
South? I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm just saying.
Too bad. Too late.
Darn it.
Yep.
We're here now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm just saying, like, it's a little bit sad that we're missing some piece of history, but, you know, we have some of the big, more major milestones, and we can re-experience a lot of those things. And we have a lot of the backlog of Disney television.
Ooh.
Like, all of these old shows.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody got called out by name in one of the press releases, and I was like, what is this? What is this? What is this? What even world am I in?
It was huge at the time. Everyone loved it. But I'm interested in a lot of the old cartoon shows. Like, I'm hoping. I didn't see Gargoyles named anywhere.
Mm.
But part of me is really hoping, because I never, like, got to binge through or finish off that show. I'd really like to be able to.
Well, you don't have to get into Goliath Chronicles. That's fine.
I'd like to see some OG DuckTales.
Oh, yeah.
Or Chippendales Rescue Rangers.
Yes, Rescue Rangers.
Even the Gummy Bears.
Absolutely, Gummy Bears.
Although, you know, I feel like that might have enabled some of us to start drinking. Because they had that stuff that make them bounce around.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, jeez. Also, we're getting the backlog of the MCU.
Gummy berry juice.
Getting the backlog of the MCU and Disney Plus, which will be really helpful. Like, it's coming out. Captain Marvel.
Captain Disney Marvel. Owns a lot. I'm just saying, Captain Jesus from the Disney Channel.
Captain Marvel will be there day one.
I believe it was Ms. Captain Jesus.
Originally,
Captain Jesus.
Originally, just to put this out, it was. But like, you know, there was that thing with Fawcett. It was that thing with Chick Tracks.
But also, I'm hoping we get all of the old Marvel shows on there too, because I'd really like to rewatch Ultimate Spider-Man.
So many Marvel shows have been pitched. Oh my god!
Yeah.
So many amazing ones. Hulk is showing up. She-Hulk. What are they lying to me just to get my money?
Loki, there's four of them, I think, that are guaranteed.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah.
WandaVision. WandaVision. They're calling it WandaVision. And it is literally just Scarlet Witch and the Vision. But they're calling it WandaVision.
I heard one division. Then I heard WandaVision, like a type of TV. All of them I'm okay with. Also, Falcon and Winter Soldier has to be a buddy comedy. There has to be no superheroics in it at all. It's just like, you know, like a roommate thing. Like, you know what I mean?
So which one of us is going to be Captain America?
Which is, that's vaguely sexy, which isn't bad, but still.
I actually have a really good plot idea for that doesn't involve buddy comedy. But
oh, what is that?
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be, assuming that we lose Cap in Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start out with Winter Soldier and Falcon kind of as rivals, seeing who's going to take over the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
But then the U.S. government introduces U.S. Agent.
Oh.
And he becomes like Rogue Cap.
Right.
And they have to take him down.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I'm wondering how much they would be willing to, I guess, gamble on the Captain America franchise as not a film franchise. But we'll find out, because this is in the future. November, I think.
Yes.
I think November is when it's coming out. Speaking of foundational structural things that exist, Notre Dame was aflame earlier this week. Very tragic. Oh, it is very upsetting. But amazingly, most of the structure has survived.
Yeah.
And most of the relics have also survived. The
apparently,
artwork.
Apparently.
Yeah.
A lot of the holy relics that they had, the Crown of Thorns.
Yeah, the fact that they were renovating kind of took a lot of the stuff out of the building, too, which was nice.
Thankfully, right.
And actually, apparently, a lot of the paintings just aren't there anymore. They're in the Louvre.
Oh, great. Good.
So,
good.
But the reconstruction effort is beginning its way, and apparently a large part of that is going to be helped by Ubisoft.
Right. Why?
Because of the work they did in mapping out the cathedral meticulously for Assassin's Creed Unity.
Holy interesting. That's really cool. Yeah.
And another interesting thing, just found out that Ubisoft, in honor and in an effort to try and drive up donations, they've made Assassin's Creed Unity available for free on PC.
Oh, neat.
So if you're interested, you can score a free copy of Assassin's Creed Unity.
Oh, thanks, Ubisoft.
And finally, last but not least, we have our results for our Women in Fiction, Women in Comedy March Madness. I loved this year's competition. It was really amazing.
I agree.
It was fun talking about all the wonderful, funny women in I guess, mostly sitcoms, some film, and every once in a while, animation that wound up in our competition. Obviously, it boiled down to two characters, two beloved characters, Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec and Liz Lemon from 30 Rock. The Tina Fey, Amy Poehler coalition was... I don't think we've gotten as many death threats in the 2 decades this place has been around as we have when that was the final round. What are our feelings about these two fine, hilarious?
My mother could not be happier about the end result of this competition.
She rigged this so that it would happen.
Somehow. Like, she got to an account and just voted, like, 500 times.
Probably.
Just to make sure, like, there would be these two at the end. But I'm not a big Liz Lemon fan, but 30 Rock was such a... It was such a... interesting and different show at the time, and it wasn't one of those interview comedies like at a time when that was all there was. And not to say that Parks and Rec is bad because of that by any stretch of imagination. I love Parks and Rec, and I love Leslie Knope as a character. I'm just saying 30 Rock was such a
it was distinct, different, and it was very, very cool.
I love 30 Rock too, Al, but there's something about Parks and Rec that kind of like just really feels different, you know, and a lot of that has to do with Leslie Knope as kind of like the main character. She's just a little different from Liz Lemon and from kind of the other sort of main women characters in comedy we get. Something about just the upbeatness and the way that Parks and Rec is as a comedy is kind of more fun and more joyful, you know, I think is really important, particularly, you know, as it's kind of gone to spin off a bunch of other comedies from the similar from the same creator, such as Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place, you know, to kind of keep that theme going when a lot of our comedy is kind of dark and bleak.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The Parks and Rec, maybe not since Mary Tyler Moore has there been an upbeat, like, main character, a protagonist in a comedy where hopefulness and happiness is actually part of the driving force, as opposed to being snarky or bitter or just being goofy. So yeah, two powerful characters in our final round, but only one winner, and you, our listeners, are to blame for this one.
This tragedy is all your fault.
Yes, don't send angry letters to us. We do not read them. And the winner of our Women in Fiction, Women in Comedy March Madness competition is Leslie Knope.
Oh, thank God.
Wow. I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I am very excited about this news. Because that basically just determines for me which series I'm going to rewatch from the beginning first, because I'm going to get to 30 Rock next.
Yeah, exactly.
Great show, great cast, and great character. So just... I
cannot say enough how much joy she brought to that show, how genuinely funny that performance was, and how much I loved that character. Like, that show... I think that show evolved because of her performance and because of a few of the very upbeat performances in that show. Like, it started out like a little bit more like a 30 Rock or something like that. But I think those, that upbeatness you were talking about elevated it. And then she brought that in spades.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you all for voting and thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of our Week in Geek podcast, please subscribe to the podcast on this network. Just go to non-productive.com/subscribe and you will find out the easiest way to do that. Like us and follow us on social media. It's the only way we pay bills somehow. I'm not sure how it works really, but apparently it's internet dollars work.
Yep.
And thank you all.
Good.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com. Thank you.